Hello, and welcome back to your favorite podcast,
De-Influenced.
Welcome. How are you, babe?
I'm doing very, very well. I'm very excited for this week because we're going out of town on an anniversary trip. I'm just feeling really good about this week.
Okay, hot take. Does it make me a bad mom that I'm going...
I knew this was going
to be... That I'm going on a trip to Europe for Mother's Day? I personally don't think it does.
Is it Mother's Day?
Yes, on our anniversary. You didn't realize that? That's why I wanted to go.
Oh, shoot. I have some work to do. Oh my gosh.
It's our 6-year anniversary and Mother's Day.
Can I ask you something?
May 12th.
Can this trip be like both Mother's Day and our anniversary celebration?
Yes, that's why we're going to Europe.
Okay.
Yes.
I just don't have anything for you.
I don't want anything.
Okay. I
wanted to go to Europe.
Okay, cool.
That's all
cool.
I wanted.
Cause you know, sometimes it's like on your birthday, you're like, I don't want anything. And I don't get you anything. And it's like, oops.
No, first of all, you've never not gotten me something.
No, I know.
You've never experienced that type of wrath from me. But no, I did not expect that. That's why we're going to Europe. It's like when we had Stella's first birthday party, and we went all out. Y'all, we went so hard for this birthday party. But it was also my birthday the next day and our gender reveal. So it was like all three events packed into one. So we went all out. So that's kind of how this is.
Yeah. Here's what I'll say about your question. So... is our family in a very healthy place where Stella and Stratton can spend a week with Nini and Papa and have the best time of their lives while we go keep our fire kindled?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, 100%. So what is it that we're up against? The opinions of other people. That's it.
I know. And I just don't care.
I'm not kidding. Just by the way, I don't want to interrupt this conversation. You have something in your teeth again.
Why does this always happen to me?
No, wait, let me see.
But I'm just thankful that you said something this time.
I know, I caught it early.
Wait, is it gone?
Yeah, it was like a weird...
It was like a weird thing.
Yeah.
Which is weird because I only had pancakes this time.
Yeah, I would say it's only the opinions of other people that I think cause insecurity in us. And I don't personally care, but I know it's... I fear being halfway through the trip when I'm having a grand old time FaceTiming Stella and Stratton and you're feeling mom guilt. I feel that.
No, it's our 6-year anniversary. Like, come on.
Yeah. I mean, I feel that. Are you worried at all about leaving them?
No.
Like personally, you're not.
I'm going to miss them so much. Like that. I'm worried about that side of it. Like I'm going to miss them. And right. I'm like so sad because I was thinking about this morning. Like I was like, oh my gosh, if I was leaving today, I would be so sad. Oh, I'm going to miss them a lot, but I'm not worried about like if they're going to be okay, if our family's going to be okay. I'm like, no, this is going to make everything better probably.
Yeah. I think it's, I think people will never understand the intentionality that other families make when making decisions like this, especially us. Like, I feel like we're very intentional about saying, okay, well, we want to take this trip now with Danny and I, because our younger kids are too young to go on this trip with us. If they weren't, we would take them. But also, if we have a third child, it's only going to be harder to take this trip in the future.
Yeah, you've never been to London. You've never been to Europe, really. We went on a cruise for a honeymoon, but that didn't really count. Because you go like for a day. And then Jordan's only been to India.
It's true.
Curveball.
Mumbai.
So,
and Udaipur.
So I was like really excited. I was like, okay, for our anniversary, I want to. And also, we're going to New York for a work trip. And that flight from New York to London is so much easier than from Dallas. So we're like, let's just go. So we're only going for 5 days.
Yeah.
Which honestly, like the jet lag is going to kill us. Cause I feel like right when we get caught up on our sleep, we're gonna have to like leave again. But we're gonna go visit my friend Allison. She is living in London. She's doing like an interior design program. So we're gonna see her. And then we're doing the Cotswold, the English countryside.
Mm-hmm.
We're staying in a castle.
Yes. A manor.
I
don't know that.
What's the difference between a manor and like a hotel?
I don't know. I don't know. I think
cooler.
It just sounds fancier.
Yeah. And then we were going to go to Amsterdam to do mushrooms, I'm just kidding. We were going to go to Amsterdam to go to Anne Frank's house and see the tulips, but Anne Frank's house was sold out and the tulips are not in bloom.
Yeah.
So I was like, there's really no reason why I would go to Amsterdam. I mean, I've heard it's a great place, but I'd rather do the English countryside. So Jordan salvaged that side of the trip for us. So plus I always said, if I ever do mushrooms, it will not be in a different country.
But you, just to be clear, I think mushrooms are very legal there though.
But like, no, it doesn't matter if it's legal to me because I'm not scared of doing the drug.
You'd rather do them illegally in the US versus legally. Yes, in my home,
100%. And plus, okay, this is the thing about drugs in different countries. First of all, I've never done mushrooms. So like, who knows what could happen? But let's just say I take off shrieking down the street and I go to jail in Amsterdam. That's not ideal. Honestly, if I take off shrieking down the street in Dallas, at least you know the local jail, you know where I'm at, you know, like my parents can come get me, you know how to get us out, at least, or at least I'm in jail where people speak English, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't want to be in jail in Amsterdam. That sounds really scary.
To be honest, shrieking down the street might be legal in Amsterdam as well. I'm pretty sure it's like a anything goes type of country.
Okay, well, that scares me too.
It was so interesting to me that you wanted to go there. Like, so to be clear, I have been working on this anniversary trip for the better part of 3 weeks. And I had this awesome Italy Lake Como trip planned. And then Danny was like, you know what? I really want to go to like Anne Frank's house. And I was like, okay,
that's pivot. So here's the thing. I thought that that would be like the gateway into Germany. Like I really like World War II history.
That's true.
So Anne Frank's house to me was going to be fascinating. And then like, I was planning on reading her diary, which I've already read like a long time ago, but like on the way, on the plane.
That's cool.
And I was going to get myself hyped up. And like, I love reading history and then like going experiencing it. And so there were like a lot of documentaries I was like getting, because I'm not in a phase in my life where I want to go chill on a lake in Lake Como. Like I want to be culture shocked. Like I want to experience new things. I want to learn. I want to be like inspired and stimulated. I'm not trying to just like go be on a boat. Like that's just not, I mean, that sounds amazing. Don't get me wrong. That's just like not what I want.
Yeah.
And so I want to see how the other half lives, you know?
Across the pond.
Across the pond.
Yeah.
So we're not doing that anymore though.
Yeah. I'm really excited about it. You know, the reason I also don't feel guilty about this trip at all is, you know, I had a men's retreat this week. Sorry, yes. You keep calling it a men's retreat and I keep correcting you. It's a mastermind.
Babe, it's very what's the clearly, difference? It's like the difference between a hotel and a manor. There ain't none.
No. So a retreat is like, let's go out into the woods and let's like talk around a fire. A mastermind, like we had it at the Divi HQ. It was like a formal business setting. And I think a mastermind for me, this is my definition, is it's all about not having a guest speaker speak down to you. It's about like a collective of thoughts. Like we're all sharing tips and tricks and ideas. Mm. So it's all like, as the person who planned it, it's all about the way that you curate it. Like I curated it very well, like meaning the people who came, I knew would add value to one another. And I had very specific intention of like, I want this person to talk to this person, you know, and I want to have a mix of ideas that maybe we all don't agree with, but we're at least learning from one another. So that was the format.
So tell us about some of the talks. Tell us about Stephen Houghton's talk.
Yeah.
Jefferson Bethke's. Like, what did y'all talk about? Like, when men get together, what are you talking about? Because, like, we all know that men need other men. Like, they need community. They need other dudes to talk about their struggles as parents and as husbands. But, like, what are the main topics?
So, well, I have a group of guys that I meet with every Tuesday. And it's not really, like, a Bible study. It's more of a, like... They're all like new dads, right? So we have two kids. They're just like one's just having their first. And so I feel like that format of just guys having a room to be like, oh, we're all in the same boat. Oh, I don't have to feel alone has been really good. And so I was like, let me do that on a bigger scale with Jefferson Bethke. So
do you just get together and like kind of complain or?
So
it's okay.
Honestly, that's my feedback on our Tuesday talks is it kind of turns into that. And like, I don't feel like that's super helpful.
You get home and hate your wife.
No. You don't like, I don't think that format is helpful. Like, I think it's like, you can have a little bit of that, but 90% of it needs to be like, okay, well, what can we do differently to make sure the culture of our family looks different or the things that we're complaining about change? So this podcast with Jefferson launches after this week's podcast, right?
Yep.
Okay. So we had Jefferson Bethke come through. I've talked about him a lot, but he wrote a book called Take Back Your Family. And it's all about like developing rhythms and culture and, you know, kind of running this like complex machine of a family in a way that like is beneficial to everyone.
He calls it like a family team. It's like how a sports team functions. You have uniforms, you have insider lingo, you have tournaments, you have practice, you have performance. Like, and so he talks about that's how he grows his family.
So like, we'll save it all for next week's podcast. The podcast, I'm not going to lie, is pretty dense.
I think I was like this.
Yeah.
The whole time, like my eyes wide open because I had to really focus to follow. I felt like I was like in a lecture, you know?
Yeah, he's very smart. He talks very fast. This was like my first podcast that was like a Jordan podcast. And I was like, I trust Jefferson, but I'm like, I wonder if it was too dense for our audience.
I think that I don't think it will be. Okay. I think it was perfect. And I think like my interjections helped bring it back down to like talk to me like I'm in kindergarten, you know, because he's so smart that sometimes I'm like, I'm not following but no, I think it's going to be very extremely relevant to a lot of parents out there.
Yeah. So anyway, he came through for our podcast and I usually don't do stuff like this. I don't know why I felt so called or compelled. I'm sure it was like pretty divine, but I really was like, I want my guy friends to know Jefferson. Like, and I want to share what he's taught me with like these other guys. Cause he's not like he had a couple like New York Times bestsellers, but I don't think he's like well known beyond like the Christian circles.
Yeah.
And so, we hosted this mastermind and the three talks were basically Jefferson gave a talk on, raising family teams and like the role of the father less as like a babysitter and the father seeing themselves as more of like a coach in the family. Mm-hmm. Because he talks a lot about like Western culture is like, my job is to provide, keep my kids safe and entertain them. Yeah. And there's nothing more than that. And it's not really a mindset of like, how do we develop our children to like, you know, last through multiple generations, like of our family.
Right.
And so he gave that talk. And then I was super proud of Stephen Houghton, because it was a pretty bold ask.
Stephen Houghton, just so y'all know, is married to Kimmy Houghton. Stephen Houghton is Tiffany Houghton's brother.
Yeah.
Jennifer Houghton, Turtle Creek Lane's son.
It's a clan. I will go out and say this. They're Mormon. They're very openly Mormon. But I went up to him and I was pretty proud that he did this because I went up to him and I was very genuine about it. I said, hey, listen, I know that we have disagreements theologically, but like there is no doubt in my mind that Mormons have figured out family better than any other people group.
Yeah.
Maybe like Jewish people, do family very well too.
True.
But like those two people groups like do family incredibly well. They are close with multiple generations. Like they're very, very good at communicating with one another. They're teams, like the families feel like teams versus like, I'm going to go off to college and then move away from my parents. And so I went up to him and I was like, hey man, listen, no one else in this room is going to be Mormon, but I would really want you to give a talk on like all the things that you've learned being raised in a Mormon family. And so he gave a talk.
What was his temperament when you like asked him to do that? Was he like,
I think he trusts me. I think that he trusts I would never like put him in a place to get roasted or anything like that. And so he was like, oh, cool idea. And he was very receptive of it. And the funny thing, he would joke about this too. You know, mission is so big in Mormonism that he probably saw as an opportunity. He's like, I'm going to get some more Mormons in this group. Yeah. in fact, he made so many funny jokes in this thing, but he gave a talk called Mo Kids, Mo Family
Moment
or something like that. And it was so funny, but he did such a perfect job of like, poking fun at like Mormonism and then also being like, but here's what we've done really, really well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he said this joke and it's probably not going to land the same way as it does on the podcast, but Drew Horner raised his hand and asked a question. And he was like, how can I get more involved in this like family lifestyle? And Steven made a joke. He was like, actually by tomorrow, you'll have two people on your doorsteps in white shirts and black ties inviting you in. But, he shared a lot of incredible tips. Like I'll share a couple, the things that he said. He said that, his family has like theme songs. And Tiffany came over that night.
She's like, yeah.
And she was like, oh yeah, the Houghton family theme song. And, he was like, what it's done for just like our mindset of positivity, and just like resilience in life. It's like, you know, it's a funny theme song. Like, I'm a Houghton, nothing can get me down. I'm a Houghton, like never see me frown or something like that.
Oh my, I'm going to cry.
And they sang it every single morning.
Stop.
It's really sweet. And
oh
so,
my God, I'm gonna cry. That's so sweet. Another we need to make up a theme song.
Another big
I'm a Ramirez.
Well, he said it's templated, so like all the Mormon families use this exact same theme song, but then just put the last name in.
That helps. I'm like, oh, we have to come up with a new song. Can we just use the Mormon song?
Yeah, right. And so he said that another big tip that I think is super valuable that he shared was this idea of like sibling subsidiaries or sibling subsidy is what he called it. So that was his dad. Would basically have this rule where if you took one of your siblings to anything, like any event, any dinner, anything you wanted to do, as long as your sibling went, dad paid for it. So it's like, he said it created a culture where him and Tiffany spent a lot of time together growing up. But if he wanted to like go race cars or something, go to the go kart track, he would always try and like convince Tiffany to come so that dad would pay for it. If he wanted to go to a steakhouse with his friends, he'd be like, okay, can Tiffany come? But then it creates this culture where Tiffany would know that she had the power. And so they would like trade time with one another. She would be like, okay, well, if you want me to go get steak with you and your friends, then you've got to take me and my girlfriends to do this stuff.
That is so cute.
It's really, really awesome.
I love that. That's one thing that I remember when I first met Jennifer Houghton. They invited us they have a beautiful home in Park City, Utah. And they invited us to go skiing. And we went over there and they were just like the most hospitable, kind people. But I remember they were telling me all about their traditions. Like they have these hymns that they sing on Christmas every single year. They get around the Christmas tree and sing hymns together. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like me and my family, we never sing hymns together. Like that is so, so special, so sweet. And I think that building in those traditions, like, really helps.
No,
it because they pass it down to their next family and it brings them all together. Like we didn't really have like a lot of traditions.
No, it's very, that's why I love Jefferson and honestly Stephen for talking, because what it does is like in Jefferson will say this better than I do, but like in American Western culture, we just don't do those things anymore. Whereas like in every other part of the world, it's going to be like you get with your family for Shabbat dinner on Friday nights. You have Sunday game nights, you know, it's just more built in like these little rituals that like build family culture and family values. But
I did ask Tiffany too. I think you had left the room, but she said that her dad was like the leader of it all. Like because they really encourage that in the Mormon church, like for you to have all these family traditions and rituals. But like you almost need someone leading it, especially when it's just like a bunch of kids. And she was like, my dad went above and beyond. Like he was like obsessed with family culture.
But look at them
now. You kind
now.
Of need that.
Like look at them no, as a family now. They're all content creators. Like they're all working essentially together. They run a family business. They're all super close. They still live in the same city. They're like the parents are close with their grandkids.
Well, they don't all live always in the same city. I don't think that has to be like the factor, but actually I think one of them did just move back to Dallas, but I meant it. It's very admirable. Like you don't see that a lot. You see a lot of families like breaking up and moving across the country and whatnot. But,
last couple things amazing. About this event. So, number one, what I thought was really cool about the event was like, and I thought about this like retroactively, it wasn't like a strategic thing, but you know, Jefferson came in the room really was like a curated group of guys whose basically job is to share their lifestyle with the internet, right? So they're hitting millions and millions of people and sharing like, oh, here's how we do our family. Like the Masseys were there, the Newtons were there, like all these kind of Instagram families. And so it was really cool for Jefferson to be able to speak into those families and then hopefully them to be able to kind of like, you know, go out and share those tips and trips, like tricks with their audience. And then we also had Andy Litt there. The other funny story I would tell you about Andy Litt is like genuinely one of his biggest challenges as a father is finding a car big enough for his family. Like he's like, we literally rent Sprinter vans to go to the mall. And I was like, that's insane. Because he has 7 kids.
We need to hang out with them more often.
Yeah. I mean, it's insane.
They're like so cool. They're so cool. And they have 7 kids. It's so interesting. It's so interesting. They need a reality TV show.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to hit them up.
100%.
They're really cool. That is wild. And I think I saw that they did like a family trip for a spring break trip. And they like got a Sprinter van and went to like Fort Worth and stayed at like Dallas hotels and stuff. Like I could be wrong, but that it was like so much work just to go to like a hotel down the street.
It's so crazy. It's like what I took away from this event is that like, you know, every like families are like I really like how Jefferson describes them as like complex systems. So what has like annoyed me more than anything is like when you get mom hate over what people believe are the logistics of our life, it's like, you don't even know what you're talking about. And every family operates and functions different. Like some moms like have 9-to-5s, like some moms work from home. Some dads have 9-to-5s. Some dads are both at home. It's like everything logistically is going to look so different family to family, but you can't just sort of blanket and be like, oh, well, this is how you should be a mom or this is how you should be a dad. It's going to look totally different. Like if you took all of the guys in this room, all of our rhythms and our patterns are the same, are so different, but our hearts are the same. Yeah. Right. And so it's just so interesting to see how different family cultures and family like rhythms and routines are built out.
Well, and that goes to also recognizing how your children are different too. Like the way that you build your complex machine is going to be unique to like the parts that you have. And like, you, like Stella and Stratton are so different from each other. Like, and I think that we would run things differently if Stratton was a different type of way.
Yes.
So you can't even like put a blanket statement on our family because like you don't understand Stella and Stratton. They're different. And like their kids are totally different.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of understanding how like your family works and like trusting your gut and the parents. Like, I don't know. It's very cool. I'm very proud of you for doing that. It was, people were very inspired by that.
Oh, cool.
When I posted about it, like that's not common. And I think y'all are, it's cool.
Yeah.
I was proud.
What's been up with you?
You know, not much. I've been packing for Europe. You know, that's always really stressful.
I know, I left you. I was like, I'm gonna take the kids to church.
Yeah.
Like you just kind of stress over here. We'll be over here.
Well, today in today's show, we have two segments. We're going to do the viral spiral and then things that make you go, grr.
Okay. You want to save it?
So we'll save it. You know, I just get a little, sometimes I'm a little worn out.
Yeah.
But I'm good. Everything is good.
I sensed from you yesterday that you were worn out. Is that what you were feeling?
No, honestly, I think I was like actually just like physically and like, worn out. I think I was just tired.
Yeah.
I just hadn't been sleeping great, but no, I honestly, everything has been very good. I wake up very thankful every day these days. So, you know, we never talked about your DEXA scan. Have you recovered from that? I know you were really upset.
Mentally, I've talked to a couple people and they went through the same thing.
It's hard.
So basically a DEXA scan is this X-ray that will measure every ounce of fat in your body. And so
here's, well, it also measures your bone density, which is why it was actually invented, is it can detect osteoporosis, like your bone density. And then people started using it for their body fat.
Yeah. So basically like every other measure I had done said I was like, call it 14, 15%. And then I got on this thing and I was like, I'm going to rock this thing.
You were so excited.
And it was 24%. But, you know, I was talking to Steven about this after the event and he was like, yeah, man, I went through the same thing. I thought I was like 9 and I was 21. So
because they measure all the visceral fat around your organs,
all around your organs and everything. And so, you know, I've just decided I'm just not going to get on a DEXA scan ever again.
Here's the thing, though.
That's kind of like what I'm doing.
I think you just don't have a good look at it because it's like, honestly, it's telling you some very helpful information. Mm-hmm. Like you had 1.24 pounds of visceral fat, which is not a lot, but that should be zero. So it's like, I think that it's more so, okay, let's just focus on that and focus on that visceral fat and just take it for what it is. Like you don't have to compare yourself to everybody else. It's just like, now you have a baseline for yourself.
Yeah. It's like the baseline is like, if a DEXA says I'm 24, the calipers are going to say I'm 17.
Yeah.
This is going to say I'm 14. So I understand my baseline for everything, but just mentally, I will never get on a DEXA scan again. I've decided that. That's my verdict.
But that's because you're focused so much on the aesthetics. Like it should tell you your health. Like you're still not understanding.
Oh yeah, babe. I don't know. I'm in this for the aesthetics. Let me be clear. I don't give a crap about how much fat's around my organs.
That's the stuff that kills you, babe.
Yeah. But you know what? It's beach season coming up. Like,
oh my gosh.
No, honestly, this isn't really like, I'm joking. Like this isn't really about vanity. I've just never been, I just want to see if I can do it.
You never played sports growing up.
I never played sports growing up. This is the problem.
It's the problem.
There's really, honestly, every insecurity slash bad decision I ever make in life can be traced back to me not playing sports or me never being in a fraternity. Truly. It's those two things. It's like, I feel like I'm constantly trying to grasp at these things that I've never had before.
And it's sad. And like, don't sleep on Jordan. Like, you teach him how to throw a football one time. I had to teach him how to throw a football for the first time. No, true story. I taught him how and how to shoot a basketball. And he's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
But you just never, you never really got to practice your skills, build your skill.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
I went in the totally wrong path. Like, I thought I was going to be like a singer songwriter. Like, it's so stupid. Like, what was I thinking?
Babe, I think you were like, okay, I think your ideal sport would have been
tennis, swimming.
Tennis is a lot of cardio, not swimming.
I also can't play sports where people depend on me. And maybe that's a self-esteem issue.
That's every sport.
No, not every sport. Like tennis, I'm responsible for my own results. Swimming, I'm responsible for my own results.
Yeah. I feel like you would have done really well at any balancing, like wakeboarding, skateboarding, dirt bikes, like stuff like that.
Those aren't sports, babe. Those are hobbies.
No. Babe, stop. You're going to get so much hate from the skateboarding community.
Who is in this community like these days?
But I'm telling you, anything like that, bike riding, cycling, you would have been really great at. So I don't know.
I mean,
maybe
it
was best that you played video games.
I wonder if there's an argument that if you put your kids in sports too early and they fail, that it could actually wreck their self-esteem for life. Does that make sense? Because honestly, what comes to my mind, I think I've talked about this before, is peewee baseball.
Peewee baseball.
Like, I mean, especially when it went from coach pitch to kid pitch. Like, it scars me. Like, I just remember.
How old were you?
Going up to bat. I've told this story, but like, you got all of your friends
watching you
and all of your family, and the whole 14 people or however many people are on the field, all depending on you to hit that ball.
And then you just whiff it.
You just whiff it.
It's a horrible feeling.
It's a horrible feeling.
Yeah, you just, I think you just don't whiff it.
I think I experienced that too
trauma,
early.
Trauma.
And honestly, no one came around me also to be like,
you're going back in.
Yeah.
Cause I'd have been like, I don't care if you whiffed it. Like, you get out there until you hit it. Like, that's what I would have said. That's what my parents said to me. They're like, I in sixth grade played softball, which I will say softball was my least favorite sport. I hate softball. I hate it to this day.
Yeah.
Because I am so scared of that ball, which is so weird because I'm not scared of basketball. I'm not scared of the football. I'm not scared of any other balls, even tennis, whatever. But baseball, I was so scared of the ball. So, but my parents said, whenever I signed up for a sport, they're like, you will not miss a practice. You will show up for everything. You will finish the year out. Like, you have to finish your commitments. The first practice, I was screaming, crying, like I hated it. Three practices in, I'm not kidding you. It was like diagnosed by a doctor. Sixth grade, I got shingles. Shingles from playing softball. It stressed me out so much. Do you know that like 80-year-olds get shingles? I was so stressed out. I would sit in my room and like rock back and forth because I was, no, I'm serious. I am dead serious. Like, I remember the trauma of being like, I hate softball so much, but my parents were like, I don't care. Like, you're still going. Fourth practice in, we're practicing up at my elementary school. Big ball, Alex Kirby throws me the ball, sun's up in my eyes, gives me the biggest black eye ever. I have to go to school with a purple black eye. My parents are like, don't care, like, you're going to practice tonight.
Honestly, that's the right move though.
Yeah, I still hated it, but it just I think it just builds this like sense of grit. And it's like, there's a certain point where you're like, shoot, I have to go. So I better figure this out because I can't get another black eye. So it like puts you in this like position where it's like kind of fight or flight. You're like, okay, I got to do it. But I will say I didn't hate any other sports as much as I hated that one. Played soccer. I wasn't very good at soccer, but I played soccer at like a really, really young age. And that was a sport that I didn't really love, but I just kept doing it because it was so freaking hot outside in Texas. Oh my gosh. But that was a sport where that was the first time that I got like elbowed in the stomach and like a referee didn't call it out. Like, you know, it was like that type of sport where like I was really fast. So my coach always put me in because I was like the fastest girl on the team, but I just wasn't very good. Like, once I got to the ball, I was like, what do I do with this? But I would always get there first.
Yeah.
And it was this first sport where I was like, dang, like if I don't elbow and punch these girls when the ref isn't looking, like I will get demolished. So I started doing it back to them. Like literally I would, the ref wouldn't be looking. I would just, for no reason, just elbow a girl right in her stomach. Be like, yeah, don't mess with me. Like you almost have to like set your tone, like your precedent. And then they like, it's don't mess like, with you.
It's kind of like life though.
I know, it's horrible.
Sometimes you got to like walk around and just elbow some people in the ribs and be like, get off me.
Get off
I'm
my
a
nuts.
Good mom. Like get off my nuts right now.
No, but it was horrible. And then like, that was just, that's just sports though. Like, yeah.
I mean, I hope that we can. So it's funny because I wouldn't blame my parents either for my low self-esteem. I think that
that's healthy.
Yeah. I don't blame them for it because, you know, Jefferson was saying like on our podcast, he goes, you know, from 0 to 5, ages 0 to 5, what a kid needs to know is that they're loved and they're safe. And he said, but the problem right now is that like people are carrying that on from like 5 to 18. Right. And so people don't have a whole lot of like grit. And my parents were very like loving and nurturing. Like, I think they prioritized my like safety and all that above all else. So you could make an argument that like they should have pushed me harder in sports.
You're like I'm traumatized. My parents love me too much.
Yeah, yeah. But honestly, the reason I don't blame my parents is because look at Luke, my brother.
Yeah.
He was like
starting when I met.
He was like varsity.
He was like varsity. Was like,
what happened here?
Luke was starting as a freshman.
Yes, I know.
In basketball, right?
I know.
He started as a freshman. Like, that's pretty impressive.
Dude, it just doesn't make sense.
But
like,
that's why every child
happened.
Is different.
No, every child is so different.
So it's like, maybe it's not tennis or soccer. It's piano lessons.
Yeah, I
it's
mean.
Whatever it is.
I hope we can. I think you and I are going to find a really good middle ground of like, you know, both of our parents' parenting styles.
Let me ask you something. Are you ever scared you're going to mess up your kids?
Dude, like every night.
What do you feel
at
like?
3 a.m. That's what I wake up and think about.
What do you feel like right now? What do you think we're messing up as parents?
Oh, this is such a good question. Stella is such a like stubborn, strong-willed individual that I constantly am walking the line of like, are we being too lenient with her or too hard on her?
Yeah.
You know? If anything, it's too lenient, right? Because you know, I mean, I'll be like, okay, we're going to go to bed in 5 minutes. She's like 10 minutes. And I'm like, no, 5 minutes. She's like 7 minutes. And I'm like, okay.
I'm You're like deal.
Good negotiation. And yes, you can have a Skittle. Like it. Yeah. So I love that about her. And I want to keep fostering that independence that she has. But I don't know if the right strategy is to just lean in and be lenient or
I know it's like they're so young
and I think that generally speaking I've always heard that like everything pre-5 is it's not like a wash but
oh, I feel like that's like the most important time that's like what they tell you.
What did Amber Vince Box, do you remember what she said? She said something about she was like
I feel like once they're 8 like they are who they are. So
yes,
it's like
yes.
So that really matters up until they're 8.
Well, Jefferson was even saying that the science says that like who they are right now, like we are seeing their personality as it will probably evolve. Like,
which I love that.
Like Stratton is very easygo-lucky or easygoing. He's very, he's funny. He's a practical joker. He messes with Stella. Stella is strong-willed. She has really strong like leadership qualities. Like
she really does. You know, I'm not just saying that. Like that girl could run the United States of America. Like I know everybody says that about their kid, but like actually, like I would trust her.
Yeah. So it's just so, it's so fragile. Like it's like, oh my gosh, we have these beautiful things about them. Like, can we mess
like,
these up?
Yeah, yeah. keep the really good things and then yeah. kind of like work on the, you know.
The rough spots.
The rough spots.
Because every gift has Tweet a shadow it. Side. So like, let's say Stratton is easy go lucky and just like, oh, I'm just Stratton. I just want to hang out. Mm-hmm. I want to be fun. It's like, well, we probably are going to have to teach him discipline more and like yeah. responsibility and like, hey, like you can't just make your sister do yeah. all of your chores for you. And like for Stella,
it's
she's
like
probably going
to
struggle.
Enjoy life a little bit. Like you don't have to have like the perfect, the thing that drives me nuts about Stella is she's so organized all the time. She's so clean. She's so like, she's such a perfectionist. I'm like, girl, live life a little
no,
bit.
She's going to have my shadow sides, which is like never feeling good enough. Like,
oh,
like being a perfectionist and never being able to like shut it off. Like, so we have to like work on teaching her how to
I'm like,
through her shadow
I'm like your
sides.
Shoes, like if her shoes are in her bedroom and they are like not exactly touching each other, like she can't go to bed.
I know.
I'm like,
that's so me.
I know. It's so scary.
But she's such a good
it's
mix.
It's great.
But she's like you in the sense that she is like, she's so girly. Like, she loves her makeup and she loves her nails and she loves all
Oh my fashion. Gosh, y'all, it was she goes, so sad.
I put her in a gray dress and it had like little white flowers on it. Uh-huh. And I go, Stella, what shoes do you want to wear? And she goes, I want to wear these white shoes because you see the flowers on my dress have white, so it matches. And aww. I was like, how do you know that? You're like 3 and a half.
It's so cute. This was so sad. So I had girls over for pizza night on Saturday night after you had your men's retreat. Mastermind.
Yeah.
And I had about 4 or 5 girlfriends over. Oh my gosh, it was like, it was a disaster. Like, it was the most fun night though, but it was like a disaster pizza night. The dough got so hot, like, cause we were just talking and talking that it basically started to like cook on our countertop. So we couldn't transfer the dough to the oven. Like, it was just a disaster. So it messed up all the pizzas. It still tastes good. It's like Mexican food. Like, it all is the same ingredients. Yeah. Anyway, Stella was so excited to hang with the girls, you know, so she pulls up a chair and she's standing on the chair. She's mixing the dough. Ellie brought her these little fake stick on nails. So, you know, she always loves getting her nails done, just like mommy. Well, she calls my nails because my nails are long spider nails. And she always talks about when I grow up, I'm going to have spider nails too. She coined that term, not me. And so Ellie brought her these stick on nails. And this is something that you won't understand. But the first time that a girl gets long nails, it is like you just went to princess status. The ASMR of like,
yeah,
you know, being to tap things and point at things. Like, you just feel so adult with your adult nails. Like, it's just, you transform into a princess. And like, I even feel that way with my nails. So just imagine a 3-year-old. So she is, I have not seen her like this ecstatic. Like, you just see her eyes light up and she starts pointing at things and she's using her nails and she's like giggling to herself. Like, she was so excited about these new nails. It was so cute. They're from Claire's. Well, we start rolling the dough. Her nails get caught in the dough and they start coming off.
Oh no.
She like lost it. Like, I mean, she was also really tired. She hadn't napped that day. It was so sad. Like, it was like she like had a huge loss in her life. Like, it was the most serious thing that had ever happened to her. And I had to console her. I'm like, honey, I promise you tomorrow I'm going to go get you new nails. I'm going to order some new nails. She's like, my nails, mommy, my nail, my spider nails. It was so sad, but it was like so important to her. Because think about it, kids, that's all they have. They have like candy and toys. Like, that's all they get to look forward to, really. It was so sweet.
That is so sweet.
I'm a little girly girl.
Let's talk about one thing that is big. Probably the biggest topic we're going to talk about today. We decided to go see Sleep No More.
Did we talk about what Sleep No More was?
No, we didn't. Sorry. Should I explain it?
Sure.
Okay, here's the story. So we're going to New York for like a day before we leave for London. And I really wanted to take Danny to a more unique experience. We've seen all of our favorite Broadway shows. I was like, I want to do something unique.
We've only seen like 3 Broadway shows.
Yeah, but all the good ones. We saw the good ones.
We have seen like, never mind.
I wanted to do something unique and I stumbled upon this thing called Sleep No More. Okay. And Sleep No More.
Did you get it from Reddit?
Yeah, I think that's where
Jordan gets everything from Reddit.
Yeah.
Reddit, despite the fact that it is like the most evil place on earth, it's actually the most helpful place on earth as well. Oh, yeah.
It depends on the subreddit you're in. But yeah, for the most part.
I'm only in one subreddit and I can't tell you what it is.
Oh, please do.
I can't.
I didn't even know you were a Redditor.
I get, feel so connected. I get the notifications.
What is it?
It's so embarrassing.
Tell me.
I have a problem. I need an intervention.
Tell me.
I'm at a Taylor Swift Reddit.
Oh, yeah. Page. You need help.
But they're nice. Like, it's like, it's just Taylor Swift news. They're not mean.
Okay. So, anyway, I found this thing called Sleep No More, and it is an immersive theater experience, okay? So you show up to this hotel, and I put hotel in air quotes because it's actually like a stage. It's a scene. It's staged as a hotel. It's called the McKittrick Hotel, okay? Are you listening?
Sorry, Daisy Kent texted me, and I feel like I have to reply right now.
Right now?
Yeah.
Right now. What did she say?
She, and it's just funny because I'm also sitting here. I tried to send her this lip gloss from Tarte.
Yeah.
And then she just got it. So anyway, she sent me a picture.
Okay, that's really sweet. So anyway, you show up to this McKittrick Hotel and everyone, imagine there's like 50 to 75 actors, okay? Like Broadway actors. And they are all playing a part in the operation of this hotel. So there's someone who greets you in the lobby who makes you feel like you're just showing up to a hotel, but it's actually an actor. There's a bartender, there's people, there's fake guests that are actually actors. And so you go in and it's basically a retelling of Macbeth, which I've never read Macbeth. I might read it on the plane on the way there. Is it long? Does anyone know?
It's Shakespeare, right?
Yeah, yeah, Shakespeare.
I honestly could not follow Shakespeare.
Okay. So anyway, it's a retelling of Macbeth. So what you do is you put on, this is the only weird part, you put on a mask.
Yeah, that's weird. Like it's giving orgy vibes.
Yeah, I know. So you put on a mask and you walk through this hotel. So what's happening is that there are scenes playing out. So imagine you, I cannot focus with you on your phone like this.
I'm sorry.
It is driving me 100%.
When Daisy Kent calls, you answer.
Okay.
She was asking me about the shade.
Are you filming a video no, to send to her?
I just sent her a selfie. Oh, my God, they sent me some of those. I'll have to try them out now. Okay, I'm listening.
Macbeth is short.
Okay.
Okay, so
we'll read Macbeth on the way there.
So we're going to read Macbeth on the way there. So you show up, and basically there are scenes playing out, okay? So what's going to happen is Danny and I are going to walk in. We're going to be wearing a mask, okay? And there's going to be this like, as a guest, as soon as you put on the mask, it's like you're not there. So they're living like scenes out as though you are not there. And the characters will basically like interact with you. So they might grab Danny away from me.
I don't know if they're allowed to touch you.
No, they do. They do. They do. They might grab Danny away and lead her into another room. And she might experience this like
totally different
couple
story.
Fighting. And I might be in a room where it's like someone's on the phone with like an old girlfriend or something like that. And so you basically can go throughout five stories of a hotel and experience this retelling of Macbeth in a totally different way. So what happens is that people go like 25 to 50 times and are like, I have never had the same experience twice.
Yes.
Now, the reason I was so close to booking tickets, the reason I didn't book tickets is because I was like, ah, this mask thing. Like, is it weird? Like, is it giving like Eyes Wide Shut vibes? Like,
I never saw that movie. I should watch it on the way there.
I don't think it's good.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't like, I think it's like, that is like orgy vibes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Then no.
So I was like, okay, what if I take Danny to this thing that's 3 hours and it's just like so weird and like doesn't fit our values at all. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to book it. We're going to go see Hadestown. But then Danny posted about it and like the fans around Sleep No More are insane. Like people who have seen it are like, it is the coolest thing that's ever happened. It's also shutting down in June. So I bought tickets.
Okay. So we're going, some people said there was nudity. I asked people on my stories if it was bad. People were like, no, it's really not bad. It's like 50% of people did see something and 50% didn't. So it's like, I think if you go through a certain storyline, you might see a little something, something. But like, you know, then just shut our eyes, move on.
Yeah, same thing can happen in a movie.
So this will be really interesting. I'm very excited. We'll keep you guys posted. We'll let you know how it goes. But this actually leads me into our next segment because actually, I misspoke at the beginning. We're going to start out with Jordan's conspiracy hour. So y'all know that Jordan loves a conspiracy theory. Like he lives for these things. He reads all about them.
I don't like seek them out. They just
fall in his lap.
Yeah.
They just come to him on his Reddit notifications. So we have an entire segment that is designated and dedicated just to Jordan's conspiracy hour. So tell us what spiral you fell down while researching Sleep No More.
Okay. So when I was like, I don't want to take Danny to see peepees and boobies. Like I'm just going to like go to something else. I started trying to find similar immersive theater experiences. Okay. And so a lot of what came up, very rarely though, like it was like one person would comment and be like, oh, I've been to this, mm-hmm. but it was like so obscure that it felt exclusive. So everyone would be like, oh, you should do the Great Gatsby immersive thing. And I was like, okay. But then the Illuminati ball kept coming up, but very, very subtly.
People were totally just messing with people.
No. So I started researching this thing called the Illuminati ball. Anytime I see Illuminati, I'm like, I'm in. I gotta see this. What is this? So a little bit of backstory is that I'm gonna tell you the progression of how things happen, okay? 1972.
Oh, we're going to history for it. Okay, there we go.
The Rothschilds had a party called the Fete Party, okay? So the
Sounds
Rothschilds.
Like
yeah, I know. I don't know what FET means, but sounds weird.
Yeah.
Sounds kooky. So the Rothschilds are a very famous elite
family,
multi-billionaire family, right? Mm-hmm. Who is it? Who's the news anchor that might be connected to them? Oh no, that's the Vanderbilts. Anyway, Anderson Cooper connected to the Vanderbilt family.
I didn't know that.
But the Rothschilds are kind of like one of those conspiracy families where it's like they've created America, they run the world, global elite, etc. So they were super rich, but what the Rothschilds were really into is throwing very interesting, elaborate parties, okay? So they had this party in 1972 called the FET Party. So a little backstory on the FET. It was a surrealist themed party with a who's who's of politics, film, business, etc., all dressed up with different heads, okay? Yes, you heard that right. Audrey Hepburn wore a bird's cage. Others wore a horse head adorned with diamonds, and one person came as a sliced up version of the Mona Lisa. If that's not enough intrigue, you should look up the history of the hosts of the party, the Rothschilds. There are many conspiracies that this family was trying to eventually rule the world or control the world economy. While the rumors behind what happened at their 1972 party are riddled with satanic rituals and Illuminati symbols, no one really knows what actually happened unless they were there. Only a handful of pictures from the event survived. So when I was researching alternatives, I started finding this party. And babe, you have to go look at some of these pictures from this party. They're absolutely insane. Like they are so like, and they're old. So they're like in color, but so like creepy and weird. And like the different decor at these parties is like old, like baby dolls. And like, it's just so weird and bizarre. So these pictures are what the immersive experience. Yes, exactly. Does that not weird you out?
Yeah.
It's weird. It's giving weird vibes. So these pictures are what the immersive experience, the Illuminati ball, is based on. So her name is Von Bueller, and her version of the ball explores the myth and the mystery of the Illuminati in conjunction with a powerful story about modern day medical experimentation. Okay. This is not made up. This is like this happened. This ball happened every year up until 2019 COVID.
Ooh, this ball, the ball has like for their tablescapes has like baby doll parts all over the place.
That's what I'm saying. So it is said that upon arrival to the Illuminati ball, guests enter into the dressing room where they will choose a unique mask to wear for the evening and which they will take home afterwards as a memento of the night's adventure. VIPs enter directly into the domed ballroom to choose their mask and they are given an Illuminati ring. This is on the website of Illuminati Ball. They are giving an Illuminati ring allowing access to the secret third floor. Okay. This is the weirdest part. Upon application to the Illuminati Ball, those interested have to complete an assignment where they will assign you to an animal kinship based on your desires expressed in your application. So pig is for those seeking fame. It's talented, hedonistic, proud. A monkey mask symbolizes power, mischievous, outspoken, opinionated. Bird, love. Cow, wealth. Mouse, respect. Horse, freedom. Wild, untamed, unchained.
Which animal would you be?
That's a really good question. Let me see. First of all of this is weird and given dark satanic vibes. I would not be a part of this at all. You know, I think I might be like a bird or a mouse.
A bird seeking love. I'd be a mouse seeking respect.
I don't know. You kind of give horse vibes.
Freedom.
Wild, untamed, unchained.
For those seeking freedom.
So anyway, this is all the reason I found this crazy. Like, you got to understand, I'm sitting here trying to plan for our anniversary trip. I'm on Reddit.
Wait, should we ask if anybody's been to it? Like in the DMs? Is this new? Or has this been around?
Well, it was in 2019. Very few people on Reddit acknowledged that they had been. It's very expensive to go. It is like a who's who's to get in. And they were like, they were so vague that I was like, this is real.
Guys, I promise I won't say anything. But if you have been
to the Illuminati ball, we will have you anonymously on this podcast.
You can wear your mask that you wore to the party.
The camera pans over it. It's just someone wearing a horse.
I'm serious. I won't. We won't say anything. That can be our next guest.
Yes. Yes. Pretty soon, I'm going to hijack this podcast and it's going to go in a totally different direction than we ever expected.
Like, I actually would just like to have someone on the podcast that has been to an event where they do satanic rituals. Like, is that actually a real thing?
Babe, that... Okay.
Like, I can't imagine that people get together and actually do that. Like, are they doing something that's weird and then everybody's saying it's satanic? Or, like, are they actually...
Can I tell you what this rabbit hole did for me?
Yes.
Okay. What this rabbit hole did for me was, like, I would always shirk off the Illuminati as, like, whatever. Like, it's fun to, like, entertain, but it's probably not, like, a real organized thing. I've been very open about that. At this point, I think on the Illuminati Ball's website, it's like the most frequently asked question is like, is the Illuminati real? And the answer that they give is basically like yes and no. So like, yes, it is a thing.
It's a concept.
It's a concept. It is probably ritualistic.
But it's not like organized.
No, it's probably not the people who are ruling the world. The people who are ruling the world might go to it, but it's not like organized to rule the world type of thing. But what this research rabbit hole did for me is like, I truly believe in good versus evil. And I think that evil comes when there's absolute power, absolute wealth, etc. And I think that these weird families do truly like get together and practice rituals, which I don't know if they're proclaiming are satanic.
Okay.
But they're like happening. Like this stuff 100% is happening.
But that's why I want to have someone on the podcast that has experiences is not because I don't think that they know what they're engaging in, but like what's the purpose?
Is to explore the myth and the mystery of the Illuminati in conjunction with a powerful story about modern day medical experimentation. Who does that? What kind of weirdo is doing that?
Guys, just please, you can email me. And like, I promise I won't say anything. I promise. I didn't tell you guys what Donna Kelsey told my mom.
That's so like, true. There you go. People are really annoyed.
But no, like now you know you can trust me when you tell me something. I won't say it. I might say that you said something, but I won't say what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I would love someone who's like connected to the Rothschild family.
That's what I'm saying. Like or friends with like, yeah, yeah.
Just like give us the truth, man. Like help us de-influence what we don't understand.
Handle the truth.
What we don't understand about your Illuminati little club. Come in and de-influence it.
Okay.
Like, tell us what's up.
Before we move on to our next segment, I want to give a shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. If you live in Texas, you know how horrible this allergy season has been, which is why I'm so grateful for Claritin D. Seasonal allergies can make everyday tasks a challenge, from stuffy nose, itchy throat, to watering eyes. It's never fun, especially when you're trying to balance work and being a mom. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that will relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double-action combination of prescription-strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Plus, if I didn't have Claritin D, my voice would not sound its best for this podcast or singing in the shower, which we simply can't have. Claritin D has helped ease my allergy symptoms and allowed me to function as I normally would without the seasonal allergy discomfort or drowsiness. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thank you, Claritin. Moving on to our next and final segment, things that make me go grrr. Babe, you forgot to do it. Make me go grrr. Now, this was a segment that we thought of after like things that make you go hmm, but there were so many things that make you just go grr instead of hmm. So, things that make me go grr. If you saw my Instagram stories this past weekend, you know I had enough of the mom haters. More specifically, the haters that nitpick the way I mom, or honestly, the semantics that go with parenting. Like, it's so silly. So I want to elaborate more on this. Basically, I continuously receive negative comments, DMs and messages about quite literally everything I post. Truly. But this weekend, I always get this like influx of hate, which is like so silly when I say that I'm watching my kids.
Yeah. Can you, so I'm fresh here. Like, to be honest, I've been posting and ghosting lately. I don't know what's happened on stories the past like 2 weeks. Let me ask you something. What happened? What did they say? What was the trigger?
Okay. So I think, to be honest, this actually stemmed from a different conversation I had had. I really haven't been sleeping great, and we've been staying up late because like we're trying to have friends and hang out with our family. So we play like game nights.
Dude, we've been pounding some Settlers of Catan.
Yeah, and there was great one. Game. There were like multiple nights where we went to bed at like midnight, and then I'm waking up at like 5:30. And when that, like, kids wake up at the same time, regardless, you know. And so I was just like really tired. Like I think it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I was just exhausted.
Right.
And so I got on my stories and I don't even really think I was whining. I was just like, guys, just so you know, when you have kids, like you, even if they go to bed at 8 p.m. or 12 p.m., they're still waking up at 6 a.m., 7 a.m., whatever it is. And like, even if you travel, you're still not going to sleep because your circadian rhythm is set to a certain beat and like, you're just no sleep anymore. I really don't even think I was whining. I was just like sharing my thoughts. Mm-hmm. I don't even think I'm not even really trying to be relatable. Like I'm just, this is just how I feel. And there were so many DMs that were like, stop whining, stop whining. And I'm like,
what can we, let me drill into this. How many are we talking? Cause like you always seem to find the needle in the haystack here.
I mean, it was enough to where I got off of them. Cause I was just like, should I delete these? And I was like, I'm not going to delete them cause it's really not bad. And I really don't think I was whining. I think I was just more so keeping it real. Mm-hmm. And so there was just this like frustration. Cause I'm like, dude, like if I can't talk about how I didn't get sleep cause my kids are 2 and 3 years old, like what can I talk about? Like, do you just want me to show like my, like me having a beautiful lunch and like a beautiful life? And
no,
a beautiful,
I feel like they hate that too.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay. Like, because I'm not gonna lie. I hate to disappoint people. I hate to let you guys down. So like if I am whining or being annoying, I don't like that people think that. Mm-hmm. Like I'm a human being, you know, so I have to toughen up and I have to be like, it's fine. Mm-hmm. So I think I was already kind of feeling that a little bit. And then I'm like, okay, well, so today I'm going to take my kids to, you know, do da 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 because Jordan's gone. So I'm watching them by myself. Oh my gosh. Every time I say that I'm watching my kid instead of, I guess, I don't know what the alternative, parenting my kid. Mm-hmm. Like who says that? All right, guys, I'm going to be parenting my kid today. Like that's mm-hmm. so stupid. I get so many DMs from people that are like, Danny, you are not watching your children. Babysitters watch children. You are parenting. Like that billions of us do this every single day by ourselves. And I'm like, yeah, like I do it too. I don't know. Like I'm their mother. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like I don't understand. So I got all these DMs about that. So I just was like kind of frustrated and fed up. And I think that was it necessary for me to post this? I don't know. I think about it mm-hmm. sometimes, but I think it's okay for people to know that I sometimes do struggle with the feedback that people give me too. Mm-hmm. Cause I think a lot of people are receiving feedback these days, you know, like we're all somewhat influencers. We're all posting on social media, whether it's just like a picture from, you know, with our family and our friends, or like you're an actual, like doing it as a career, like we all get that feedback. And so I think it's okay for me to share. I wasn't trying to call this person out. I was just like letting people know, like, this is exhausting for me when people DM me every single day and tell me why they're going to unfollow me. Like, I don't know what, it's hurtful. Honestly, it's hurtful. Like, why do you want to tell me why you don't like me anymore? Like, I don't understand why that's necessary. It's mm-hmm. not really doing anybody good. And if you're unfollowing me because I'm a bad mom and you're going to tell me I'm a bad mom, like in the greater scheme of like, if you're actually concerned about my children because I'm a bad mom, DMing me and telling me I'm a bad mom and how you're going to follow me is not benefiting my kids. So it's like, you don't obviously care about my kids. You don't care about my family because like, you're actually hurting me more than helping me.
Yeah.
And there's sometimes people send me great feedback. They're like, hey, Danny, like I would do this or I would try this vitamin or have you had coffee? Like, you know, and you can tell those people actually care. So it's just so unnecessary. And I just, yeah, there was a certain point where I was like, I kind of want to call it out and like, just know, like, I'm not going to put up with that.
Can we watch a live? Can I watch these really quick to give some live opinions? I never saw these. You're talking about these? These stories?
Yeah. Those were the ones where I was talking about.
These are the ones called in question.
No. Those are the ones that that was the one where I was whining.
I know. That's what I want to say. I want to.
Okay. There's two that were called in question. I was whining one time and then I was babysitting my kids the other time.
Okay. Is it this slide?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lord help me, please. Here's the deal.
You look phenomenal. Glowing.
You're being sarcastic.
I'm being serious. You look great.
At midnight or 8 p.m., your kids are going to wake up at the same time.
That's a fact.
Whether they go to bed at 7 p.m. or midnight, they're going to wake up at the same time too. So there's never a thing called sleeping in anymore. It just doesn't exist. Even when you go out of town and you sleep in a hotel, you will still wake up.
Okay, I understand. Is this the one?
She didn't come over, by the way.
I don't know what we're gonna do, but I thought about taking the kids to see Kung Fu Panda. Because they haven't like seen a movie in a long time, but then I'm like, oh, that could also be a disaster. They might get them Stella.
Is that it?
Yeah.
No. Really?
Yeah.
What do you need?
Let me see.
Hold on, I gotta make sure that was it, because that there's no way that that's what called it into question.
Look, I was.
Is that it? That was it. Truly.
Yeah.
Bro.
Did I even say watching my kids? Yeah, I think I did.
Listen, there's been some times. Is that not it?
Oh, I watched. Always say, here's the thing. I'm going to keep on saying it just to piss people off.
Okay. But let me ask you this. There's been times where I'm like, okay, I understand why that could have been perceived poorly. I was expecting it to be way worse. I was like, maybe they found something and she just like doesn't see how she said it. But I don't understand that one. Is it just the caption? You got to be careful about that text, babe. That's what I'm saying. See, people don't listen anymore. They just read.
Oh.
That's the biggest issue here.
Oh, because I said I was watching my kids because Jordan was at a men's retreat.
Honestly though, I think your biggest downfall here, babe, is that you gotta realize no one's watching sound or no one's listening anymore.
Wait, so you're saying I did something wrong by saying I was watching my kids?
I'm saying that you are responsible. What did Jefferson say? We are responsible for the optics of our own image. And I'm saying that you just need to never put anything in writing because that is where they get you. And they'll get it and they'll screenshot it with no context whatsoever on your tone or what else you said in audible version. And then they will just get you.
Yeah. Or I should just develop thicker skin.
Yeah. Honestly, I think the post and ghost strategy has really been working well for me. I don't know anything. You know, you said that that people were pleased that I put on a mastermind. I was like, see, I thought that they would have hated that.
See, I disagree with you because then I can't interact with my audience and feel their...
I know.
Like, I can't answer. I am in my DMs every single day. Like, even over the weekends, I'm answering my DMs.
And that's part of like, yeah, I mean, you are in a relationship with your audience. I just kind of feel like a sub character. And so I have the luxury of just being totally oblivious to what's going on.
You know what I don't look at?
You don't.
I'm actually not going to say.
Okay. So, yeah, I would just say you need to develop thicker skin. I think that you are most healthy when you realize that any opinions, whether they're good or bad, have nothing to do with who you actually are. But I also don't blame you for reading thousands of comments every day and that not being able to, like, you can't just block that out. It's going to affect you.
I just want to say one other thing. There is this like movement on the internet where everyone has to be relatable. Relatable is like the new authentic. Like everything has to be what?
See, I feel like it's more aspirational these days.
Yeah, like
Alex Earl's at like raves.
But that's she's not relatable. No.
Or maybe it is.
She's Should relatable be because she's relatable because then she comes home hungover and she's in bed eating like nachos. Everybody's like, oh my God, that's so relatable.
But let me tell you something.
Her whole brand is about being a hot mess. Like literally she'll show her bedroom and like, yeah, she's out there doing cool things, but she's relatable to a lot of people.
I need the audience to know though, that she knows that. Like she knows what her brand is. She knows that she needs to keep her room messy. She knows that she likes, people like when she's out partying. I wouldn't doubt if Alex Earl goes to a rave and literally has one drink, but shows herself drinking that one drink and is not actually hungover and not actually drunk.
I will say I hung
Who
out with her.
Who could sustain a lifestyle like
I
that?
I hung out with her one time and she was not drunk. Like exactly. She was. Yeah, it's but she probably conspiracy. Is like, she's like sipping on the drinks. Like, no. Yeah, okay. Anyway, there's no way she would be as successful as she is if she was like actually hungover every day. There's just no way. Anyway, my point being, there is this movement on the internet to be relatable 24/7. And I don't know, like, I'm just kind of over that. Like, I just feel like everybody should just be themselves. And to be honest, there's a lot of people I follow, like Ballerina Farms, not relatable. Like, I will never be milking a cow. Like, never. But it's really interesting to watch her. Same thing with like.
But dude, she gets a ton of hate too because she doesn't show how much help she has behind the scenes.
Yeah, but just everybody's valuing this one thing and it's almost like impossible because your life is going to change. And if you actually like grow and you become successful at anything you do, like that's going to become unrelatable. But guys, this is what I have to say. I'm just a gal.
That's it?
I'm just a gal.
I know.
We're just
gals and guys out here. Just trying to make it on the internet.
You're just the gal.
Survive.
This is, yeah.
How are you? You actually doing okay with this issue?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't like actually that affected. I was more so annoyed.
Yeah.
Like like my dad always says, the fleas sure are bad.
It's true.
That's what my dad always said. My dad always said that whenever I would go ask him for money to go see a movie theater, or just go to the movie theater. He'd be like, the fleas sure are bad.
Yeah. I think that slide was fine. To be honest. I don't think you were complaining.
Thank you, babe. Okay. Well, this has been going on for an hour and 17 minutes. So I think it's time for us to wrap, say goodbye. We'll see you whenever we get back from Europe. If you want to follow us along our journey, we might be posting a little bit on the D-Influence TikTok and Instagram clips of this podcast. We'd love for you guys to go follow along. Thank you guys for listening, and I guess we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.